Awesome, everyone. We are tonight going on with our sermon series, Hearing the Voice of God. Who's excited? Yes. I left you in the middle, and then Philip came and shared a message last week, and now we're back on track. If you enjoy this message, but you missed the previous two, thanks to Steph, it is on the internet for download. Woohoo! Yes. So you can go to shofaronline.org/Secunda, or you can just go to ORG and select Secunda, downloads, and you can find the whole sermon series there, and weekly we will update it and keep you posted. How cool is that? So you can listen to the sermons when you take your girlfriend or your wife to McDonald's drive-thru to enjoy that Lake Kamuzi, then you can put the sermon on your radio. How's that? That is a great date. Okay. Without the McDonald's, you might be okay. All right. Okay. I'm going to quickly recap. Just to put a few things up that we had there, and then we'll carry on with tonight. This is the way, walk in it. This is part three, Is It You, God? Quick overview. We started and we said, what is the different ways in which communication comes to us? Our first sermon, you'll find on the internet. We spoke about a few different things. We'll put it on in a second. And then we moved over and we asked ourselves, so with all these different things coming to us, all this information, stuff I perceive in my heart, maybe I had a dream now, what is God and what is not? How do I sift what is really from God or not? And tonight we're carrying on with that. Isaiah 50 verse 10 says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? His servant is Jesus. Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. In plain English it says, for those of us at times who are confused, for those of us at times who's not 100% sure what to do next, let him trust in the Lord. It's easy as that. Who's sometimes not 100% sure what to do next? All right. Who sometimes feels that you've got two opportunities and both looks amazing and you don't know which one to select, okay? My wife, she's great with those. She just struggled to choose between two wonderful things. I just choose one. What I normally do is I take a bite out of a McDonald's burger, then I spin it. And then as it when it stops, the bite is like an arrow. If it points that way, then that's my decision I make. So for me, it's quite easy. who sometimes have felt that this decision coming up next can be actually life-changing for at least a few years, like moving from one town to another or marrying someone? How's that for life-changing? All right. And sometimes we feel, hey, I'm not 100% sure. This is not like math. It's like one plus one, it is two, and it will always be two. Right? But life's decisions is not like that. And so we just call it darkness. I'm not 100% sure. Let that person trust in God. Okay. So we want to hear his voice. John 10 says, the sheep hear his voice. Jesus is speaking. He's telling, he's making an analogy. He says, I'm like a shepherd and you're like the sheep. And the sheep hears the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name. Isn't that cool? By name. That means tonight, Jesus has something for you. It's a message for us, but there's something for your heart because he knows you by name. That is amazing. He goes before them and the sheep, they follow him for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him for they do not know the voice of strangers. Three things we said. He always speaks to his followers. Amen. Jesus. We follow him. We don't bring him along. All right. That's very important. I've got this great decision I made and I'm going to pray that God will bless it. No, we are not the shepherds and God is not a genie. All right. We don't just take him along. It doesn't work. It cannot work like that. All right. He leads and we follow. Make sense? All right. And that's why we're here. Is this you talking to me, Lord? And then number three, there's also the voices of strangers. There's always my voice, my past, an old tape of my mother, playing in my head. There's also the voice of the father of lies. That's another name for the devil. He speaks lies. Which one is God, which one is not? And this is where we started the first week, which you'll find on the internet. Mainly we discussed four ways in which God speaks. Okay, there it is. If you want to write down quickly, just write down those four, but you're going to have to get that message because I'm not going to go into them. All right, let's go on. Okay, so just to quickly bounce over the previous sermon. Why is it important that we develop a close relationship with the Holy Spirit? Is it discern which word or which thought and which communication we're experiencing is God or not? Why is it important? Because you can be right one moment and wrong the next. And who was our example? Beatrice. Peter. What did he say? He said, Lord, Jesus asked a question and Peter answered right. He said, you are the Son, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well done. Flesh and blood had not revealed this to you. You heard correctly, Peter. Just after that, Jesus said, listen, the Son of Man must die. He will be crucified and he will rise up after 3 days. And Peter said, no, that will not happen. And what did Jesus say? We don't sing that in songs, all right? Get behind me, Satan, all right? It might be like in one of those albums, like Demon Hunters or Witch Killers, or those guys might growl something like, get behind me, Satan. But that sounds like words I won't want to be addressed at me, okay? But yet I am just like Peter and you also. Did you know that? You are not 100% sure of always hearing correctly, okay? And so the Bible says in 1 John 4 verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every voice. Do not believe every feeling. Hey, do not believe every person, all right? But test the spirits. Test the information. To see whether they are from God. How do you test it? That's what we're handling tonight and last week, all right? For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Is this the Holy Spirit I'm experiencing now or not? Or is this voice in my heart? Is it my own emotions? Is it my own fear? All of us has got a little, I'm going to start a new doctrine here. We all have this little man in us we need to kill. It's our fear man. And he speaks. I can't do this. I should rather take this way. Fear is a voice in our hearts. Okay, it's the opposite of faith, and it's the father of lies, right? Is this my fear speaking to me? Is that why I don't want to do this thing? Because I'm scared? Was it really God telling me not to? Who is it? Right, so before we get into this, let me just quickly recap this. Number one, there's three stages from hearing to obeying. The first phase is revelation. Alright? Revelation, there's knowledge of this information that comes your way. Alright? I perceive something. I feel something. I dream something. I'm reminded of something. Alright? Number one. Number two, interpretation is the understanding the Holy Spirit gives you. What does this mean and who is this? That's what we're on tonight. Okay? Who's speaking to me right now? Is it God or not? And then number three, and number one and two is a waste if we don't get to this, applying. Okay, Lord, so now what do I do with this? You did speak with me. You encouraged me. You motivated me. And I know now what I must do. But then we must actually do it. And it's called obedience. Okay? And God says in His Word that obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes we do weird things to impress God, right? But He's not impressed in stuff we do. He loves when we are obedient. That's why we must be able to hear His voice. All right, that's what we had last time. 1, 2, and 3. We discussed that, firstly, if I hear something in my heart, if we can go to that next slide, there we go. If I hear something in my heart and it is not in line with Scripture, something is wrong. All right? Also, the Bible is wrong, or I'm wrong. And guess what? You're wrong every time. All right? The Bible is always right. And we had this basic example, like, what does the Bible say about tax? If the if the government is corrupt, you should not pay tax. No. The Bible says you must pay your tax. How's that? All right? And so if I get a great feeling now, I should hold back my tax and feed the poor. That sounds great, but it's not. You must take your own money to feed the poor. Because that's not your money that you want to take from tax. So that's not God speaking. Amen? Right? That's the example we had. There's many other examples. If you fall graciously and amazingly in love with my wife, you're going to have more than one problem. But that was not God speaking to you. Yeah, but it was real love. It's not. She's my wife. All right? And the Bible says she's my wife forever and ever. Are you with me? If I hear something and it's not in the Word of God, you've heard wrong. That's quite easy. The first three is the easiest. The last three we're doing today is a bit harder. It takes a bit more application, interpretation. Does it make me more like Jesus? All right, we ask, is this going to hurt someone? Yeah, if this thing is really going to do wonders for me, all right, if it's going to really put me in a position at work, well, do well, but it hurts someone else, maybe that's not God speaking right there. Right? The will of God is always loving towards others, always gracious, always caring for another person. Right? The business world says, come on top, doesn't matter how you get there, just get there. God doesn't work like that. He's the great servant. Right? Jesus says, you serve mankind, and then I exalt you over everything, even powers and principalities. It doesn't make me more like Jesus. This thing that I, in my heart, that I'm thinking, this plan that's coming to me, is it going to make me more like Jesus? And then the last one is, does my church family confirm that? Your small group, that's why small groups is so important, all right? And God is so smart, He's so amazing. All of us wants to be sure of stuff. You know, I never doubted for one second whether I should marry my wife or not, because those people in my life said, this is from God. We agree with you. No doubt. Not one. You know how freeing that is? That's just amazing. That's just one example. And we also said that if there's something in your heart and you're like, I don't think I want to tell someone else about this, that might not be God speaking to you right there. All right? And just watch out. Just before you tell someone else, don't go and tell the whole world, but just put on the brakes. And ask yourself, is this wise for me? And go to one or two people that really loves you. And one or two people that's got the fruit of God in their lives. That they love God and serve Him. And go and ask them. If you think that's a great plan, and all your friends think this is going to be bad, listen to them. They love you. Okay? If you have to go and look, ask 20 people before someone agrees, then you're also in trouble. Okay? Okay? Because at some time someone's going to agree with you, alright? Alright. Can we go on? Are you, everyone with me? Great stuff. Test number 4. We're not going to be long tonight. Does it fit your shape? Now, before you throw me with something, I'm married for a few years now. I'm not talking about dress sizes or those kind of shape. I'm talking about a spiritual shape. Now, the last three is tricky because I'm trying to put my finger on one side of a coin here, but there is the other side, right? Just for example, if I say tonight, God says you must love people, is that true? Is that true? But is it right for someone to hurt you physically? Right, okay? So even though you still love them, you don't have to be with them. So you can say, yeah, but you said we must love everyone, but what about that person that hit me? Okay? You don't have to spend time with them. All right? There's always the other side of the coin. You see where I'm going? So tonight, I need you to be mature and follow me here. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. This has been on the screen almost every week since we started this year. Now, God created you physically, yes. He knows your physical dress sizes and all those secrets. He knows it. But more importantly, there's a part of you He created which is not natural, which you cannot see through the eye. All right? It is your spirit man. It's something within you that is so unique. He made you like that. And for now, let's call that your shape. Okay, your spiritual shape. Now, the Bible says He prepared you for good works ahead of time. Say good works. Right. Now, I want you to say certain good works. Because if He prepared you in a specific way, that means there is certain works in which He prepared you for. Does that make sense? But then, of course, if you are made a specific way for certain works, there's also other works that He did not prepare you for. Does that make sense? Mathematically, it makes sense, right? Okay. If you take this thing here, right? I don't want to sit on this. This is not made to sit on. It's made as a mic. You can speak over it. And everyone is happy that we use it as a mic. Everyone can hear. Great. But if I sit on this thing and it doesn't sit comfortably, I'm not going to be mad at the mic. I'm going to be mad at myself because I am stupid. This is a mic. This is not a chair. Right? This is a chair and fits my bum nicely. All right? And I can relax on that. And in the same way, it's very basic. Spiritually, there's certain things that just works with you. All right? And there's certain things, let's be honest, that does not work with you. Okay? Now, let me just... Can we just put something in a box here? I don't have a box, but just imagine there's a big box here. I want us to leave just a few things here, and then we'll talk about the shape on that side. Being a servant, right, in your community, to fulfill a gap, to help where help is needed, has got nothing to do with your shape, all right? If a place needs to be cleaned so that there can be church, and there's no one, do that. You'll be blessed for that. You just fill the gap. You don't need to be spiritually shaped to help cleaning, all right? You don't need to be spiritually shaped to pack chairs. You don't need to be spiritually shaped to organize food at the back, all right? That's called being a servant. And God says it's a blessing. If you are a servant, He will bless you. Why? Because Jesus was a servant. And God exalted Him. Servant box here. Are you with me? I fill a gap, even if it's not my favorite thing. Hey, Warren and Carl can lead worship, all right? But if there's only the two of them here, one of them can get food. Are they good at singing? Yes, but they can also get food. Are you with me? Servant box. I help because I'm needed, even though whether you like it or not. On the other side, every one of us cannot lead worship. Who agrees with me? Okay. Some people's like, yes, I tried. And the thing about your spiritual shape, and I'm sorry to say this, is you just because you like something, right? Just because a specific thing in the kingdom you are attracted to. Sometimes that is also your shape, but it's not a guarantee. Are you with me? Because you know when everyone wants to lead the worship, but no one wants to clean the toilet. I'm using two extremes, but you get what I'm saying? Oh, sorry guys. I'm still on. Are you awake? Let's get your mic in, says Javakar. Tonight is a night for blasting the speaker. Okay, follow me here. You are complete in the way you are made, all right? Which means you won't fall short if you develop in the area spiritually that God has prepared for you beforehand, all right? If you faithfully serve there, you will reach that place 100%, all right? But if there is something that God has not called you to, there will be a great frustration. It can cost you a lot of time. It can cost you a lot of money. And it can hurt you. Right? And that's why being in the community is so important. I had a friend in Wellington, which was actually a church where I gave my heart to the Lord. And he was a worship leader. And at one stage, he decided he wants to become a professional athlete. All right? He had a wife and a child. And he tried But the thing is, he was okay at school, but he was never really, really top athlete in South Africa that can make it full time. And so he left the ministry and wasted a few years, did not make it, and their family went through a terrible time. All right? It was never his shape, it was never his calling to become an athlete. He's back to being a worship leader, and it's now part of his testimony because God can use our mess for a message. Amen? But he was just never called to be a professional athlete. And maybe at that time his friends didn't know his talents or didn't counsel him or he didn't listen. But he should have never left the place where he was walking in his spiritual shape for something that he longed for. Do you get me there? Make sense? All right, let's talk about pop idols for a second. You've seen those guys. Okay. Some people don't have friends, all right? Because they go in front of cameras, and some of them are serious, some of them are jokers, and they sing their heart. I'm sorry, I love to see those wooden spoon singers. It's one of my favorite things to do. I end up on the floor. Maybe it's wrong of me. But I'm asking myself, where's the friends? Okay? Don't do it, okay? Come with me, let's go to band practice. You can help with the sound at the back or something. But don't go, don't stand in the line. You want to make a fool of yourself. Because some of us, we are prison singers. Okay? We always have the wrong key and we're a few bars behind. Alright? It just never works out. Okay? So I enjoy helping the band when someone needs to hit the drum. But you know what? I will be stupid if I leave where God is growing me in now to say, I want to be trained to be a worship leader. I can kind of hold a note, but it's not my shape, okay? It's not where God is really leading me towards. Does that make sense? So if you guys love me and those of you that's with me on leadership teams and I say, listen, I want to leave everything and become a worship leader, suddenly you should tell me, it's not your shape. It's not your spiritual shape. You're going to waste time. And you're going to be frustrated. You are good at what you are doing. Make sense? Is it your spiritual shape? What are you hearing? The leadings you're getting in the spirit. Things you are feeling on your heart. Is that your spiritual shape? Now, once again, let's include in the box here the stuff that you are good at. Just because something stretches your faith and it seems impossible doesn't mean you must walk away from it. Do you get what I'm saying? As a pastor, as a leader, I should have burning desires in my heart that scares me. It's within my shape, but it scares me. I don't know how it's going to, it's not within my power. All right? But it frightens me because it's so big. Don't walk away from faith situations and say, it's not my faith. It's not my shape. Make sense? All right. There's one of the churches in Cape Town I used to be good friends with, their pastor. They've got a ruthless way to deal with this. They've got a value. They say, at this church, we love you and we actively are going to help you get on the right seat of the bus. What does it mean? It means there's many seats on the bus and some of us need to get on specific seats and in a certain way we fit in, almost like a body, right? So what will happen is someone will sing and they will ask him, okay, so how do you score yourself out of 10 for that singing that you did? And then the guy would say, oh, 9 out of 10. A few little notes there. And then they'll say, okay, listen, we have to talk. Rehat scores you a 3, I score you a 1, and Anna scores you a 4. Listen, this is not your shape. What? You are breaking my heart. We love you. You should not sing, all right? It is not your shape, all right? But we realize when you talk to people, you are very engaging. You should allow God to work with you because we think you can be really good at preaching. It's a painful process, and it's not nice when people evaluate you on stuff that personally you hold dear. Amen? But you know what? You are not a mistake. You are made in a specific way, and there is a place where you make a difference. Okay? So Oprah is wrong, and Dr. Phil. You cannot be anything you want to be. Rudy, quickly stand up. Quickly stand up. No, just stand. Okay. Now, Oprah says, okay, if Rudy really wants to, and he puts his mind to it, he can be Springbok Lock. Listen, he is not shaped physically to be a Springbok Lock. I'm longer than you. I'm not shaped. You should be more than 2 meters. Okay? You are shaped to be a scrum off. So you have to deal with that. All right? That's just how it works. A very natural example, but spiritually it is the same. You can sit down. Thank you, buddy. Some of us maybe wants to do one thing, but you know what? You're actually a really good small group leader. You should have people in your home. Okay? So some of the stuff that's in your heart, it may be envy. Maybe you see someone do something very well, and you're like, I want to do that. Test it with a friend. Is this my shape? I ask this a lot. Even within being a pastor, there's so many different ways in which we do things. And I sit with one or two of my friends often. I say, listen, am I shaped to do this from the pulpit? Should I be doing this? And then they would say, listen, Varish, you are naturally gifted with that. Build on that. Does this whole thing make sense to you? Isn't it freeing to know, yes, your faith will be challenged. Yes, you're going to take step of faith at some time, or at various times where you step into the darkness, you don't know what's going to happen. But God wants you to walk a road which He has prepared for you. All right. That's amazing. What is your spiritual shape? This is really what we'll get to at the end of the year again, talking through the spiritual gifts, all the gifts there is, the gifts of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are all different. Some of us, we want to be at soup kitchen every week. Where's the soup kitchen people? Quickly put up your hand. Nicolene, she will change small groups every week because she just loves small groups. You know what? A mercy ministry, Nicolene, a place where you give out of your heart for those in need, it's within your shape. God made you. So if you work, I'm taking you as an example, but I'm also speaking into your life. If you work in an environment where you give into hearts, you will always be satisfied because you are shaped to give. All right? Does that make sense? And so we are all different. All right? And God wants to use you within the way you are made. Amen. Take your mic and say, what's your size? Last thing I want to say here is there will be forks in the road. All right? There will be forks in the road in your life. And at some of those forks, you're going to have to come to this thing. All right? So if we go, can we go one slide back? Can I just show you how this works? Okay, I want to sing in the band. Yes. What does God says in His Word about singing in the band? Okay, they didn't have the word band in the Bible, all right? But God doesn't have a problem with that. It's worship, all right? Can we agree on that? Will it make you more like Jesus? Sure. I'm going to worship Christ. I'm going to be an example. I want to grow in it. Okay? Does my church family confirm? Maybe you have friends that don't hear so well. Okay, you want to be worshiped. They're like, yes, great. But now you learn the hard way because you didn't go to your church family. So you get on the stage and people are closing their ears, but there's no feed over the speakers. Okay, so even though it's not against God's word, it's not your shape. Okay, so God help me. Where's my seat on the bus? Where do I fit in? Because let me tell you what, you are not like anyone else. In your place, you should never look at another person and say, I want to do this like that person. Or I want to do this like that person. Don't be motivated by what you see only other people do, okay? Because you might be motivated by envy. I also want to sing as beautiful as Caroline, play the keyboard. Because maybe your shape is something else. Amen. Good. Good, good, good. Right. Oh, I love this one. T5. Conviction or condemnation. Right. I'm going to explain the difference, what the two of it is. And then I'm going to help you, and hopefully a lot of you tonight, even while I'm busy with this, will start to pinpoint a voice in your heart and you can put, hey, this is God or this is not God. Just two scriptures so we can start it off. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Say no condemnation for those in Christ. All right? No condemnation. Say no to condemnation. All right? John 16 verse 10. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Who's the he they're talking about? The Holy Spirit. Right? When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world. Say yes to convict. Yes to convict. All right. Now, the difference. Condemnation is an expression of a very strong disapproval. Now, please don't get mixed up with how the court uses this word. We need to look at the biblical interpretation of this word. An offender, a public offender, gets condemned to 12 years of prison or whatever. When we talk about condemnation in the Bible, we're talking about something, a voice, a spirit, something in your heart that disapproves you. And specifically, I put the word there, personal. You as a person, condemnation pushes you away always. All right? It's something that creates distance between you and God. Condemnation. Okay, I'm going to give you a longer list just now. But we'll just flip back to conviction for a second, and then I'll give you a few ideas. Conviction, though, in the Bible, is the ability, if we can get, yeah, there we go, the ability through the Holy Spirit to see oneself as God sees you. Does that include seeing your sin? Does that include seeing your sin? Who says yes? Yes, but then it draws you near. Yes, you make mistakes, but come to me because I want to wash you and I want to be close to you. Okay? Jesus says, although you are dirty because of sin, I will wash you whiter than snow. So even though conviction shows to you your heart and you're not always happy at first what you see, you are always invited closer. Those two examples I've just used is also true for godly relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, in families, okay? Condemnation, sometimes the enemy helps us to push one another away. You always like this, Ben. I can never spend this. Always. Never. I hate you. You are ugly. You were wrong because you hit me, but now I'm condemning you. I'm pushing you away. Convicting, the heart of conviction would say, Ben, I feel bad that you hit me, and I really want you to apologize to me because I want this relationship, and you know what? We sort it out. It's still not nice. There's something that happened, and he can hit hard. But condemnation burns a bridge. Conviction builds a bridge. Okay? And spiritually, Jesus is our bridge. You have to come through me now. You've sinned. Okay? You have to come through me. But you may come. All right? Okay, next one. The voice of condemnation. Now, we're talking about the voice of God. There's stuff in your mind going on. Maybe you want to go. I've got examples here. We'll get to it with missions and stuff. And should I go on missions? Should not? Should I be a part of a small group? Should I do this amazing thing? Should I testify to this person? It's all those questions. And this is what condemnation, when it's not God, more or less will sound like in your heart. It will point out what a failure you are. All right? It's not Ben, we had a moment, it was not nice when we had a fight. You are a failure. And someone like you does not go on missions. Right? Make it about you. You suck. It degrades you. Okay? It keeps on filling your thoughts with the problem. Alright? This thing is constantly, it's like you never get over. That's not God. I'll tell you now how the voice of God sounds. It leaves you with doubt. Self-doubt. You ask yourself, am I good enough for whatever? You actually feel like a failure whichever way you apply it. Am I good enough to be a good husband? Am I good enough to be a good worker at Cecil? Am I a good family member? In fact, you doubt yourself because the voice of condemnation are condemning you as a person. You feel belittled, ashamed, and alone. So typically, the voice also hammers you on your past. Because of what you did in the past, you are done. It's condemnation. Now, condemnation, because the devil is the father of lies, you will have a lot of thoughts every day that sounds like this. Who agrees with me? Okay? So now, write it down. Okay? Get those thoughts, locate them, and don't take it anymore, because you can save yourself a lot of mental energy. This will tire you out. In fact, this will put you in depression. Cancel it. Don't listen to it. And say, Lord, this thought is not from you. I give it to you. All right? The voice of condemnation. And you know when this voice speaks the loudest? When you are ready to make an amazing step in your life. When you are ready, when you're at the edge of breaking into new ground. And we had a word like that in the beginning of the year. It's one of our words for this year. This year is a year when we want to break through our boundaries. We want to trust God for new and amazing stuff. But just when you want to break a specific boundary in your life, there's condemnation. You can't do that because you are like this. Alright? It's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You with me? Okay. Now the voice of conviction is different. The voice of conviction, it points not to what a failure you are, but it points to the Savior. Okay? Where condemnation will say, you are so full of sin, and we'll stop there. Conviction will say, come to the Savior because He wants to deal with that sin and wash you clean. Always gives an answer. Right? It shows sins and calls to repentance. What is repentance? Lord, wash me, forgive me, I was wrong. So it always brings you back to God. Conviction is a good thing. Don't be scared of conviction. Don't be scared to ask God, Lord, will you convict me? And when you convict me clearly, because I don't have time and the energy to listen to the lies of the enemy for days and weeks. Conviction is always clear, simple, and it gives an outcome. So you can deal. Conviction is also not nice, okay? Because God may show you something in your heart about yourself that you don't want to see. We all know what it feels like. There's that thing of in your face, you don't want to see it in the mirror. But you know what? You have to deal with it. It's who you are. But now with conviction, also, if we are honest, there's a place in our life where God shows us areas in our hearts. God may show you, you know what? You are really prideful. You don't really have a loving or submitted heart. Okay? I don't want to hear that. But when God shows it to you, immediately when you come to Him, it's dealt with. Isn't that amazing? And it gives hope. Conviction gives hope. The moment you realize this is God, you know this thing that's a mountain in front of you, if you take it to God now, hey, there's hope. Condemnation never gives hope. It just shows you a deep pit that never ends. And if you see that, if you look into condemnation the whole time, no one can live like that. And that's why many people take their lives. Because you know what? You need to see hope, the hope of Christ. Amen? And He's got a great plan for you. And He's not the one that's condemning you. Now, so is it the voice of the Holy Spirit that you are hearing? It's the voice of conviction or condemnation. All right? So I used the example of missions. Typically, you're on the point to go to missions. You're thinking about it. You want to go. And by the way, there's a missions meeting tonight. That's why I remembered this. To someone use this example. You are not good enough to be on missions because you did this and this in your life And someone like you do not belong on missions. Condemnation. That's not God. He doesn't speak like that. Okay? If there is sin in your life, the voice of God will be like this. Hey, I can use any person, but won't you come to me? Because I want to wash you and I want to give you so much joy. I want to send you on missions to change hearts. Lord, but I can't change lives. Look at my life. I know. Come to me. I will wash you. And you can deal with it. It is clear. It's simple. There's a meeting with God and it's dealt with. It's amazing. Conviction. It's clear. Condemnation, unclear. Check this out. Condemnation, okay, the voice of the enemy always makes, before you commit a certain sin, all right? Okay, I don't want to put thoughts in your head, but as an example, there's something you know you should not do it. The Holy Spirit says, don't do this. You know it's not a good thing. The voice of the enemy before you do it says, that's nothing. That's a small thing. But if you do it, he is onto you like a rash on the beach at December. Oh, look what you did. You failure, you dirty person. God's going to... Before the time he said, no, this is a small thing. It's a voice of condemnation. Sneaky and dirty. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know. Condemnation also wants you, the enemy can also grow the seed in your life, your thought, by wanting you to have condemning thoughts towards another person, because it's a spirit. It also wants to work through you. So you want to think of someone in your life that committed a sin against you, hopefully you've forgiven them. The enemy wants you to think that person is rubbish. Make it personal. That person is like this. So he wants you to have condemning thoughts, because once you've bought into that pattern, even in a thought towards another person you're in, you'll believe it about yourself as well. Right? And so the Holy Spirit, if there's someone in your life that has wronged you, will always lead you to believe even that person can be saved and experience a relationship with Christ. Even that person can turn around. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you in that moment. Which links with the other point, will it hurt anyone else? Okay? With me? I hope this helps in terms of what we believe about ourselves. We say, you cannot afford to have a thought about yourself that God doesn't have about you. Any thought you believe about yourself, anything you believe about your life that God doesn't say about you, you cannot afford to believe that. All right. If God says you are whiter than snow when I wash you, when you come to me, don't believe anything or anyone that says you are rubbish and you will never make it. It's not God. It's not His voice. Amen. Right. Can we finish off? Last one. Now, this is something in our church that's very important, because we are aligned prophetically. We like to get words for one another, and we are encouraged to do so. Amen? Even in our small group, sometimes we pray for one another. I feel God is saying this. I feel God is saying this. I feel God say, watch out for that. That is a great thing. Remember, test number 3, it says, does my church family confirm? And Proverbs 15:22, I'm just repeating it from a previous sermon. It says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. God loves it when we speak into one another's life. Amen? There will be times in your life, at least every month, where it will be very precious and very much needed that a good friend speak into your life. But you are also that person that speaks to someone else. Amen? It goes both ways. Now, Romans 14 verse 4. I'm just going to shock this thing and then I'm going to try and put it in its right place. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Okay? It is before his own master that he stands or falls. and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So now, it looks like scripture is saying, don't speak to another person. Afrikaans mense hou van sê, moet men nie judge. It's the worst thing you can say, because you don't know what you're talking about. Specifically in this piece of scripture, scripture is talking about some people keeping the Sabbath, other people not. Some people eat all kinds of food, other people not. And Paul just say, listen, it's not important what day, it's not important what food. Bless them and leave them. As long as they love Jesus Christ, let him judge them. All right, that's the backbone. Now, what we are saying is there's two hearts in which I can approach a word when I want to give my friend a word. The one heart is the heart of conviction. The other one is the heart of condemnation. When I want to take a word to my friend because I want to control them, put on the brakes and take it very slow before you speak. Before you say, God says. All right? Take it slow before you hear for someone else and you start and you say, I feel God is telling you what to do. Alright? When we are friends and there's a mutual relationship, we want that. We want input from one another. All I'm saying is, listen carefully. Pray for another day. Fast if you have to. Worship the Lord. And search your heart. Is this a voice of discipleship? I'm helping this person because he's really going to get hurt. Or is this about me? Alright? Does that make sense? Now Jonah is a great example of this. Jonah, God sends Jonah to a nation that is in sin. Alright? Sin is wrong. But God's heart is still to save. Jonah is God. Judge them. God, kill them. He stands up and he preaches the worst sermon in the history of the Bible. You're all going to die, you sinners. That's about the sermon. They turn to God. God loves them. God is so happy and Jonah's mad. Okay? And maybe it's a good prayer. Lord, am I coming with the heart of Jonah here? Because yes, that person was wrong. But remember, God's heart is to bring back. God's heart is to bring them back closer. So let your conversation be prophetic, which is upbuilding. Let your word always allow a person to come back. Never condemn a person. Never burn a bridge with the word you bring on the table. Because you've done this, you are done. No, because otherwise I would not be here. What I want to say on test number 6 is when we hear for someone else, just take it slowly and say, Lord, work with me. There's a story to the one pastor. He says a lady comes up to him after his sermon and says, Pastor, and she says his name, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me your secret sin. All right? And so, to which he replies, so I guess it's not a secret anymore. but he just said that you didn't hear from God. You can go. Your excuse. Because every time before he preaches, he prays. He says, Lord, is there something in my heart I must repent of? Is there something in my life that right now I must just give up? I must give to you. Because when I stand behind that pulpit and I preach, it must be pure. And God did reveal things to him which he repented. And so when she came and said, there's a secret sin, he says, thank you, you can go. Be very, very slow and pray through it, careful when you hear for other people because God can speak to them as well. Amen? And we must speak to one another in one another's life. It's required. It's what makes us who we are. But what is all this gifts? What is prophecy? And what is all these gifts we have if we don't have love? It's a voice of condemnation. Amen. So let's speak with love. So if you can ask yourself this, if you want to just write it down, it's not on there. What I have in my heart for this person, is it helpful for this person? will this help this person to be more crazy in love with Jesus? Number two, is this kind? Look, if I am in a sin that will hurt me and my wife, my family, and you come in love to talk about the sin, that's a kind thing to do. Did you know that? Even though you're pressing on a button, it is kind because you're helping me. Are you okay with that? Should I speak with this person or should I only pray? Okay. Sometimes you'll pray for someone, and that, especially if God speaks to you in your quiet times in your prayer closet, and you pray about something, and then a few days later they come and they say, "You know what? I really think I should." That's what you prayed for. God used you as an intercessor. Okay. Never share a word to manipulate another person. Okay. God said you must marry me. You have no other option. Because He said it and I've got confirmation. Okay. That's not how we do it. And then the last slide, just a summary. I feel something on my heart, but what does the Word of God say about it? Does it make me more like Jesus? Is it bringing me closer to Christ or is it burning a bridge? Does my church family, my small group, how do they feel about this? Right? Is it your shape? Does it fit with who God made me to be? Okay. Is it conviction or condemnation? And then just generally, when I hear for others, let's make sure it's God. Especially if I say, I feel God is saying. Alright? Can we stand tonight? Thanks, Warren, if you can help us in front.